You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane actually is off today, as is Greg, but Calvin's still in the booth, and I'm Matt Rothschild, pleased to guest host this morning with you, and with my favorite guest co-host, Angela Lang. Angela, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I'll be honest, it just started raining and there was some thunder, and I kind of want to go back to bed because this is the perfect day to just bum around. But I'm good. I'm caffeinated. I'm here.
I don't blame you. I was awakened at 5:05 this morning by the thunder and the lightning. Oof. And the rain. So, yeah, it came through Madison quite early. I mean, I usually get up early, so I didn't mind the wake-up call, but
yeah.
There it was. And then the phone started to ding, and I thought, God, are we having a tornado watch or tornado warning going
on? Yeah.
But
what a
nothing,
way to wake up.
Yeah, nothing too severe. And then my birds started to sing, and so that made me happy, including a wood thrush, which is my wife's favorite. So all was good. Last night I did watch the end of the Brewers game. Unfortunately, the streak has ended at 11.
Yeah.
George Webb doesn't have to give away 100,000 free hamburgers to the people in Milwaukee if the streak reached 12. So I imagine he's relieved. It was the ninth inning. Brewers had runners on first and second, and then they just couldn't get it across. Some questionable balls and strikes called, too, I have to say. Of course, I'm a homer, but they're playing great, though.
Yeah, it was just a good stretch. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to see him doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted, before we, you know, dig into the crazy Trump stuff, I just wanted to stress how important it is for everyone to keep resisting this threat to our democracy that Donald Trump poses. And I wanted to acknowledge, because I don't think there was enough acknowledgement of all the great protests that were in Wisconsin last Thursday, the Good Trouble protests, because it was all over the state. I mean, we had protests. I'm just going to read off this list, and I'm sorry, I have to apologize if I don't mention your town. If I miss it, you guys should text or call and let me know, and let Angela know, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. But there were protests in Amory, Appleton, Ashland, Baraboo, Black River Falls, Chippewa Falls, Eagle River, Eau Claire, Fort Atkinson, Green Bay, Hartford, Hayward, La Crosse, Ladysmith, Madison, I was there briefly, Marinette, McFarland, I was also there, Menominee, Milwaukee, Montello, Mount Horeb, Park Falls, Racine, Sheboygan, Spooner, Stevens Point, Stoughton. They've got a great group out in Stoughton. I was there for a second, too, because that's just 5 miles from my house. Sturgeon Bay, Watertown, Wisconsin Rapids. I'm just impressed with the activism that I'm seeing all across the state, the energy, the enthusiasm, the creativity, the fun that people are having, protesting with clever signs and costumes and chants and also the determination people are showing, because that's what we're going to need, because it's getting a little crazy out there.
As an organizer, it's great to see, right, this new level of activism. And we saw it a little bit after the 2016 election. You had groups like Indivisible pop up. And I think it's great to see a bunch of new folks feel activated and inspired to get involved and to build community with other organizers. I also think it's an educational opportunity. How are we unpacking and untangling this moment, which I think is what you and I try to do every single time we're on air. But, you know, it's also an opportunity outside of this sphere in real life to educate folks of, you know, there were some years ago, many people had said defund ICE, and there were some Dems that thought it was ridiculous and radical. And it's like, okay, here we are. So I think that there's a history lesson, and I think an educational lesson to really talk about the intersection of so many different issues we're seeing right now.
And there's still some Democratic pundits who are saying that was a terrible thing to say.
Yeah,
you know, the James Carvilles of this world, who are just, you know, they keep saying, as Carville did the other day in the New York Times, stop saying those things and just talk about repealing the big ugly bill and just be anti-Trump. But being anti-Trump doesn't get us that far. Didn't get us to the White House, that's for sure.
Lessons have not been learned, apparently.
Yeah, and that's something that Bernie and AOC keep saying. You know, you got to give people a vision going forward.
Yeah.
It can't just be returned to the status quo ante, because people weren't happy with the status quo before. And they're not happy with the status quo right now. And so just to say, Trump is bad, get rid of Trump. That doesn't do enough. That's why the vision going forward is so important. And I just want to mention there is another protest coming up in Madison on August 2nd at 11 o'clock at Library Mall. This is a faith-based protest being led by Reverend David Cooper and a couple other religious leaders here in Madison. They're marching up from Library Mall to the Capitol, and they're inviting everybody, including people who are non-believers like me, can feel very comfortable there, and I'm certainly going to be there. So that's kind of exciting. I think it's really important for folks who have a platform, a moral platform, like people of the cloth, to show up and to acknowledge that what we're seeing in this country is not according to any of the moral principles of any of the major and minor religions across the world, that what we're seeing here is cruelty and sadism and scapegoating. And of course, I call it fascism. I know that scares a lot of people, but it is the nearest analog to what we've seen historically. And, you know, Trump is just totally losing his stuff right now. That's the thing that we're seeing with his response to the Epstein scandal, which astonishes me that it's a scandal, because we knew this guy was a sexual creep. The first time he ran, he told everybody on that Hollywood tape. And then, of course, he got convicted. Yeah, convicted of sexual abuse. And now people are aghast. Well, what did they think they were buying here when they bought Trump?
Yeah.
But and the policies of cruelty don't seem to upset those folks. It's just this grotesque personal behavior with Epstein, which is really grotesque too. So I understand that part of it. But yeah, they should have known what they were buying at the beginning. But so here we have Trump, and I'm going to go to Calvin, who's got some tape of Trump yesterday in the Oval Office, just ranting in a caged animal-like way. Let's just run it if you can, Calvin.
But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say, let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. So we found absolute, this isn't like evidence or this is like proof, irrefutable proof that Obama was seditious, that Obama was trying to lead a coup. And it was with Hillary Clinton, with all these other people.
There you have it, the President of the United States. I'm just thinking of my father, who was a lawyer his whole life, believed in the law, was a little naive that way. But to have the President of the United States call someone guilty before he's even been charged or prosecuted is just something that would have made my father just recoil in horror. But what was your reaction to that?
There's a lot there. I remember seeing it, clips of this on social media, and I'm like, is this AI? Like, none of this makes sense. Like, and then you realize it's real, and it's like, he seems unwell, right? He seems unwell. It's also like, he just cannot stand that there is a more popular president than him, right? And I'm not saying Obama is perfect by any means, but, you know, he's a whole heck of a lot better than the orange man we have now. And it's so interesting that he's talking about treason in this country when he is the man single-handedly destroying this country with his just gang of reinforcers, basically. You know, it was him and his party that stormed the Capitol in January 6th. So
there was some treason.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, this is a lot. This is bold coming from you, which is also why it just doesn't seem, it's even more unusual. He just seems kind of like deeply unwell. And I know there's been some speculation about his health recently, and I'm not trying to, you know, add to that, but it was so discombobulating and incoherent that it's just like, is there something, where is this coming from? What is the context of why he's saying this?
Yeah, I think you're putting your finger right on it, Angela. He is a pathological. This is the behavior of a pathological narcissist.
Yeah.
You know, when things aren't going their way, they just strike out. They can't admit or retreat. They just strike out at anyone. And, you know, there he is stressing Obama's middle name, Hussein Obama, which is a clear racist.
That was clear. Yep.
Dog bark. and... Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, some people are speculating, well, this Epstein thing is breaking up the Republican Party, breaking up MAGA. This is going to do him in. You know, he's been, people have been saying he's been done in, you know, ever since that tape came out. And he still survives, and he survives by these antics. And he will change the subject no matter what it takes. And so I'm still very worried about him. But, yeah, this... you know, he posted this on X, according to Heather Cox Richardson, who is invaluable, and my wife reads her every day. Here is Trump, or here's the White House posting on X an image of Trump in front of American flags, eagles, and fireworks with a caption, "I was the hunted," and then in all caps, "Now I'm the hunter, President Donald J. Trump." And he promised this on the campaign trail, though. I mean, again, we shouldn't be surprised. He's told us pretty much everything he was going to do. He said, "I am your," what did he say on the trail? "I am your vengeance," or "I am your..."
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or retribution, and, something like that.
Yeah, "I'm your retribution," which should have been a clear signal that he wasn't well. And we were warned about it. And we were warned about it by Liz Cheney constantly, who said, "This is a guy who shouldn't be anywhere near the Oval Office ever again." And to her credit, she did all she could to try to stop him from getting there. Yeah. But he's there, and he has this immense power.
It's dangerous.
Super dangerous. And, you know, if we don't keep protesting and showing him that, and the folks around him who may be saner, that there's that this isn't going to be easy, what he's trying to do in destroying our democracy, there is going to be resistance all over the country, and, you know, their options aren't as... easy to implement as they might think. If we don't do that, he will keep doing crazier and crazier things, and I believe he's going to invoke the Insurrection Act at some point in the not too distant future, and that you know, there goes our democracy. I mean, this is a guy who's got no love for democracy whatsoever. He's a super vindictive person, vengeful person, and he feels trapped right now. And so he is...
Especially with the backdrop of the midterms around the corner, too. I know that's weighing on his mind. What is he going to do to try and protect himself for the midterms?
Yeah, well, he said, according to New York Times today, whether it's right or wrong, it's time to go after people. That's our president, folks. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. We're co-hosting today while Jane and Greg are out. Calvin's in the booth. And we'll be right back. We're going to hear a little bit from Stephen Colbert about what he made of this Donald Trump rampage. Number to call, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang here while Jane and Greg are off today. Calvin is with us still, which is great. And thank you for listening. You can join our conversation. You can phone or text at 855-752-4842 or on the app here at Civic Media. That would be great to hear from you. Angela and I have been talking about Trump on the rampage, and last night Stephen Colbert had a great little bit on it. So let's just take a quick listen to that.
Of course, whenever Trump is backed into a corner, he needs to change the subject and throw red meat to the carnivorous base, and their favorite cut is filet of Obama. Here's Trump earlier today being asked about the ongoing Epstein scandal.
Yeah, I don't know about it. I don't really follow that too much. It's sort of a witch hunt, just a continuation of the witch hunt. The witch hunt that you should be talking about is they caught President Obama absolutely cold. Now, we found absolute, this isn't like evidence, or this is like proof irrefutable proof that Obama was sedacious.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it takes extraordinary confidence to call a former president sedacious, because that is not a word.
I was wondering. I was like, is that a word? Because I thought of, yeah, okay. It wasn't just me.
He was looking for seditious.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller said he was combining seditious with bodacious. So, who knows what he was doing? And he's
our
such
president.
He's such a liar, too. I mean, the fact that he can claim that he's not following what's going on with the Epstein controversy. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, after he put, you know, how many FBI agents to comb through 100,000 files there, mm-hmm. the Epstein files. So, yeah, that's our president.
Julie from Wausau texted that she protested both Thursday and Saturday. And then Linda said, Trump projects whatever he is guilty of, he is treasonous. And I think that is a perfect explanation.
Yeah, I mean, his projection, you're absolutely right, is a psychological function, too, that he exercises whenever he's doing something wrong. He's such a gaslighter. He says you're doing it wrong. You're the one who's doing this bad thing, not me.
I want to live in whatever fantasy world he lives in. Like, he does not live in our reality, and that is dangerous for a president, of a leader. It's just how it just baffles my mind that we clearly don't even share the same realities, set of facts. The level of delusion from his base as well. Like, I don't understand how people continue to support him. I know this Epstein thing might be the thing that gets people to stop supporting him. And, you know, while it's always great to have people see the light of this president, it does make me feel a way that this is their red line for folks. And it's not the million other things that he's done before this.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing what grabs them. But, you know, if it is something that can separate them from the cult leader, you know, I'm for it. But I'm skeptical. I think he's going to come through. I know there's a lot of us wishing and praying that this takes him down. But, you know, I've been sold that story before.
Yep.
And this guy is hard to get down. I mean, but you're right. I mean, about the psychological universe he lives in, it's very peculiar. And to understand it fully, I think people should look at two things. One, narcissistic pathological narcissism, which you can find in the DSM, which is the diagnostic manual, and he just checks off every box there. And the other thing is just to look at scholars on fascism.
Yeah.
And so what I've been looking at most recently is Ruth Ben-Ghiad, who wrote the book Strong Men, and she has this Substack called Lucid, L-U-C-I-D, like clear, and she's invaluable right now. In telling us what we're looking at. And so is Timothy Snyder, who used to be at Yale and now is, of course, moved to Toronto, which itself is an alarming thing. And he wrote On Tyranny and On Freedom, and he's been warning us about Trump and Trump being a fascist. And so,
for years.
You know, yeah. And so, I mean, a while ago I was giving a little talk at an independent living center in Madison about things that might tell us we're going even further down the hill. And one thing I mentioned was, well, if he starts prosecuting leading Democrats, then things are going from bad to worse. And then what did we hear from him yesterday? He wants to, you know, he wants to try Obama for treason. And he put a little video on Twitter, or his White House people did, with, this was AI, with him sitting next to Obama and then Obama getting hauled off by FBI agents.
He's so cringe.
And the people in the White House press office are so childish. I mean, they're so adolescent in their social media postings. I mean, it's like they're high school kids, or, you know, it's puerile. But that's, you know, we have that guy at the top and we have his followers in the White House who are either sellouts, or sycophants or fascists themselves. And so, there's no one there who's going to restrain the old man.
Yeah.
And some of them are in it for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
But look, There's no check here. There's no balance here.
Yeah.
We've been told since we were in kindergarten that we had this great system of checks and balances in America. Guess what? Gone. We don't.
Gone.
We need to recognize that one of the only checks and balances left is the people in the streets. And that's why I keep urging people to keep doing the protests. My hats are off to everyone who's protested so far at any of the big protests we've had over the last couple months. And there's another one coming up again here in Madison on August 2nd at 11 o'clock at Library Mall, a faith-based one, which is going to be really neat to see. We need more like that. We're going to be back after the break with Becky Rabatin, who is at Independence First. She's a disability rights activist in Milwaukee. She's going to talk about the Medicaid cuts and also the 35th anniversary of the ADA, which is coming up in just a couple days. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. We'll be right back. I hope you'll join us. Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today. Angela Lang and I, Matt Rothschild, are guest hosting for them. Calvin's in the booth. Times are getting tougher. I just wanted to put a bow on our conversation about Trump, and then I want to leave Trump alone for a while. But I had mentioned his pathological narcissism, and I mentioned the diagnostic manual DSM on narcissistic pathological disorder. So I just looked it up at the break. Here are the characteristics. Grandiosity, exaggerated sense of self-importance, accomplishments, and talents, fantasies, preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love, uniqueness, belief in being special and unique, associated only with high status people or institutions, admiration, need for excessive admiration and attention. Sounds like anyone you know. Entitlement, unreasonable expectations of favorable treatment and automatic compliance, exploitation, taking advantage of others to achieve personal goals, lack of empathy, inability or unwillingness to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others. Check. Envy, envious of others, arrogance, haughty and arrogant behaviors and attitudes. There it is. Checks every single one of them. Okay, unbelievable. There. All right, enough of Trump. Let's move on. Delighted to have on the show with us right now, Becky Rabatin. She's the Community Access and Legislative Policy Analyst at Independence First in Milwaukee. Becky, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell our listeners what Independence First is.
Independence First is a center of independent living. We're one of eight in the state of Wisconsin. We were established to help advocate for the rights of persons with disability, and that is brought about by the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. And we are mandated to provide five core services for the community of persons with disabilities.
And what are some of those services?
Information and referral, peer support, life skills training, advocacy, both on an individual and systemic level, as well as transition from individuals that are in the hospital going back into the community, or people in rehab centers or nursing homes that want to live back into the community, and students transitioning out of K-12 education into the workforce or into higher education.
You know, during the debate over that big, ugly bill in Washington, one of the hot issues was the cuts to Medicaid. A lot of those cuts are going to affect persons with disabilities. Do you want to get into that? What was your reaction to those cuts?
Oh, well, there's been... since the big, beautiful bill was introduced, there's been a really strong coalition of different organizations fighting for those rights of individuals with disabilities that rely on Medicaid. So it takes in many, many different things. Gosh almighty, some of the things that we're concerned about is in the state budget was passed, we're stable right now, but that's just to, you know, stay stable in the funding. Anything that increases, or if we receive less money from federal funds, what effect will that have on our budget? And so some of the things that we look at is that there is Badger Care There is Katie Beckett programs, IRIS programs, and individuals with disability, like many of my coworkers here, depend on Medicaid to be able to help them to continue to work,
right,
because they depend on personal care assistance to help them get dressed in the morning, bathe, help them get to work in the morning using paratransit. And if they don't have that assistance, they would not be able to get into work. Also, those individuals that provide personal care assistance, they receive that funding through Medicaid. And those individuals sometimes may depend on Medicaid themselves. So cuts to Medicaid is a huge issue for persons with disability. I know there are quite a few people that are concerned that if they do not have the help of Medicaid and other programs that the state of Wisconsin has, that they may have to go back into institutions. And several people that have been involved in some of the listening sessions with U.S. representatives and Senator Baldwin have said, I am not going back into an institution. We want to continue living in the community. I prefer living in the community. I feel safer living in the community, and this is where I want to live.
So, I mean, that's a very heartbreaking thing to hear, that that is something that folks are actually thinking about. What has the response been when you've had meetings with, say, folks on the other side of the aisle? Because this is why we have these conversations. I think it's so important for us to humanize and to put real faces and lives to some of the policies that people are voting on. Like, they're real people that are impacted. What are folks not understanding, I guess, about the situation that you all in, and kind of specifically the dire funding constraints that y'all are dealing with?
Well, I've attended a few of Senator Johnson's phone meetings. And the first one that I attended, when individuals brought up the cut to Medicaid and Medicare, was the response was, that's not true. We're not going to be doing cuts to Medicaid and Medicare. We have seen that that has come about. And it's only going to, now it's only going to affect those people that are in the basement playing video games that don't want to work. So that's the mentality. So basically, here's what I think. It's more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And their evil is that there's people that are taking a free ride. And that is so far from the truth. Yeah. Again, I have coworkers here that, you know, they have to be concerned about how much they earn, that they aren't thrown off of Social Security, or that they lose Medicaid. But they want to work. They want to be in the community. They want to get married, you know. If they get married, they, again, lose Medicaid. They lose Social Security. They could lose Social Security. Those are all things that I hear and from my coworkers and our consumers that we work for. It's just, I think some of the arguments that are coming up, I don't agree with them. I don't see that. May there be a few of those? Possibly, but you're going to affect many, many more individuals that rely on these services to be able to participate in the community.
I mean, it just sounds like their arguments are disingenuous, right? They don't really even have any arguments. It just sounds like they're flat out lying and saying you're wrong and gaslighting and saying that's not what's going to happen, when clearly that is what's happening. And I think that's also just as shameful, to be lying to the faces of folks that are saying this is what the future looks like.
Correct. Kind of this same example would be the one secretary that made the comment that if his mother-in-law missed her Social Security check, that she would not be calling that she missed it. Well, that's wonderful if your son-in-law is a billionaire. Mm-hmm. However, that is not the case for many, many individuals with disabilities. That's just not the situation for people with disabilities and individuals on Social Security. I'm not even talking about people that have disabilities, even people retired, that depend on a good portion of Social Security for their daily expenses.
I mean, that just showed how out of it the Trump administration is with the everyday lived experiences of people in the United States. You know, people who are struggling to make ends meet, people with disabilities. We're speaking with Becky Rabatin. She is the Community Access and Legislative Policy Analyst at Independence First in Milwaukee. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang here on Matt and Air on Air. There, Jane and Greg are off today, and we're having this conversation about what the Trump budget is imposing on persons with disabilities and how it's going to affect them. Becky, it's all this red tape that people are going to have to fill out just to keep getting their benefits. Isn't that going to be onerous for persons with disabilities?
Yes, I'm glad that you brought that up because I did want to mention that as well. In some of the listening sessions that we've had with either Representative Moore or Senator Baldwin and other listening sessions, there have been individuals that it is quite cumbersome for those that fill out the forms, and individuals that maybe say are neurodivergent or intellectual disabilities, this is a hard thing to remember what you put on the forms. And if you're, say, for example, you're hospitalized and your situation changed, well, now you're supposed to report that. And if you miss that, you can possibly lose your benefits. There was a big fight about this, and it went to Madison because they wanted to change the reporting cycle. I think that within DHS, they wanted reporting every month as opposed to every quarter. And they just didn't have the staff or the funds to be able to do that. And so it was very onerous, not only for individuals with disabilities, but also on the state staff to do that.
And there have been studies done in other states that show these red tape requirements. They will kick people off who are qualified. It's just that they can't fill out the paperwork or don't know how to fill out the paperwork, or they, you know, miss something on one of the documents, like you're saying, Becky. So this is just, it's just kind of a callous and backhanded way to deny people the benefits that are rightfully theirs and that they need to actually survive, essentially.
It's another level of cruelty that we've continued to talk about. It's this theme, this reoccurring theme of this administration is this level of cruelty, you know, to some of our most vulnerable folks, to folks that are aging, our aging population, our, you know, disabled population. It is sickening how cruel it has been. And I think that's something that needs to keep being stated time and time again.
Correct. And I don't think people really realize the effect on persons with disabilities unless they themselves develop a disability or a family member. Yeah. Then that light bulb goes on.
But and at any point, any of us could be a part of the disabled community.
As people with disabilities say, individuals that do not have a disability right now, they're temporarily able-bodied.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of light bulbs going off, Becky, as this cruel policy gets implemented, as Angela put it. If you could stay with us after the break, I want to talk about the anniversary of the ADA, which is coming up. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild along with Angela Lang, and our guest is Becky Rabatin of the Community Access and Legislative Policy Analyst at Independence First in Milwaukee. You can join the conversation 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane, Matt and Air, and Greg are off today, deservedly so after traipsing around the state of Wisconsin last week. Calvin's still in the booth, I'm glad to say. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting with Angela Lang today. It's always fun doing this with you, Angela.
Always, always.
And our guest for the rest of this half hour, Becky Rabatin. She's the Community Access and Legislative Policy Analyst at Independence First in Milwaukee. And Becky, you know, I was going through Facebook the other day, saw that the ADA is having a big anniversary, 35th anniversary. I think it's on Saturday. And I saw that you used to be the ADA coordinator for the city of Milwaukee. So tell us how important the ADA has been.
Oh, the ADA is very important. Just the changes that you could see that have happened since the ADA has been enacted. I'm a fan of old movies. I watch Noir Alley from TCM. And even though I enjoy those old movies, I think, oh, crossing that street and trying to get up on that sidewalk would be very difficult for me. You know, I'm a boomer, you know, and I have some of those acquired disabilities that come along as you age. But why it's important is it affords individuals a disability to participate in the community. That was not there before. And it's provided many different avenues. The ADA is very broad. Congress meant it to be broad. It was narrow due to a couple of Supreme Court rulings, which narrowed the definition of disability. And Congress then amended the ADA in September 2008 so that they can broaden again that description or that definition of disability. And so that includes people with temporary or episodic disabilities as well. Someone that maybe had surgery that can't get around anymore. Someone that maybe has conditions that ebb and flow and how they can be accommodated. But the ADA has done so much requiring curb ramps, transit stops. We're also looking, it's a different act, but it's still something that addresses accessibility for students in K-12 programs, the Individual with Disability Education Act, which requires K-12 schools to provide individualized education plans for those students with disabilities. Polling locations need to be accessible. Transportation, the built environment, us communicating. Right now I'm looking and I am seeing captioning coming up. For me, that's very important. I keep captioning on watching my TV. Otherwise I miss a lot. Effective communication. And some of the newer things that have come up in the ADA is in April 2024, the regulations were updated that public entities, which is state or local government, any quasi-governmental agencies or districts or transits, that their websites have to be in compliance with the Web Content Accessibility Guideline 2.1. So those communities, less than 50,000 individuals, they have to update and bring their websites into compliance by April of 2027. And those over 50,000, April of 2026. So that's something that, you know, those individuals that want to pay their bill online, water bills, say, for example, they want to pull up meeting notes from council meetings, common council meetings, state legislative meetings, that those documents that they want to pull up are accessible for them to use. So those are some of the things that I have to say that the ADA has really provided for. And there's so much more.
I mean, this is an example of a government policy that is really expanding rights and freedoms for people. And there's so many things that are the Trump administration is trying to do to take those rights and freedoms away that I think it's important to elevate the success of a program that expands rights and freedoms. What are the plans for celebrating the big 35th ADA anniversary in Wisconsin?
So this Saturday, it'll be here at Independence First, but it will be hosted by Industries for the Blind and Visually Impaired and their Blind Chamber of Commerce. So that will be happening here at Independence First Saturday, July 26th, the actual anniversary, from 11 to 1. And then on July 30th, we will be having a celebration here at Independence First. We will, it will be hosted by Independence First, visit Milwaukee, and the mayor will be here as well. And we're going to be opening our facilities for folks to come and see how accessible our facility is.
What is your address there, and how can people support your group?
We're located at 540 South First Street in Milwaukee, and they can support us or any other Center of Independent Living. You can just go to www.independencefirst.org to find those centers of independent living in other parts of the state. You can go to DHHS's website and be able to pull up independence living centers and to be able to see what center represents your area within the state, where you are located within the state of Wisconsin.
Terrific. Becky, thanks so much for being our guest. That's Becky Rabatin of Independence First in Milwaukee. That's independencefirst.org. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back after the break with Brittany Merlot, prize-winning meteorologist of Civic Media. The number is 855-752-4842. Angela and I will be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.